USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Our Democratic friends have spoken a lot recently about wanting bipartisan solutions. Passing this legislation will provide the opportunity.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell talking about a bill that would completely repeal Obamacare, with McConnell saying it gives all parties a chance to start over in creating health care for all Americans. McConnell noted the number of Republicans who voted for repeal when the same bill was brought up in 2015.
A majority of the Senate voted to pass the same repeal legislation back in 2015. President Obama vetoed it then. President Trump will sign it now.
President Trump is spending the week touting Made in America. He spoke of the importance of buying American goods.
When we purchase products made in the USA, the profits stay here, the revenue stays here, and the jobs, maybe most importantly of all, they stay right here in the USA.
USA Radio News.
Attention, all men. Did you know that bladder control problems are very common? If you or a loved one is suffering from male incontinence, please listen to this important message from Men's Liberty, because bladder control problems do not need to keep you from living an active life any longer. Best of all, costs can be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week supply with your order.
Using Men's Liberty, we can go places, and I don't feel a sense of anxiety.
Men's Liberty has made both mine and my husband's life easier.
As a urological surgeon, I highly recommend Men's Liberty. It's simply the best option available, and I've seen how it changes lives.
Men's Liberty is covered by Medicare and most major health insurance plans. Say goodbye to painful catheters, expensive diapers, and embarrassing accidents, odors, or infections. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week supply with your order. Call 888-827-7549. That's 888-827-7549. 888-827-7549.
The State Department expanding the number of people who can come into the United States under President Trump's travel restrictions. Chris Barnes has more.
The State Department now says grandparents and other close relatives of people from countries on President Trump's travel ban list can get visas to come to the United States. The new guidelines also include grandchildren, uncles, aunts, and some in-laws. Those family members were initially excluded from a list of close relatives exempt from the ban. That list was made after the Supreme Court reinstated parts of it, but said people who have close relatives in the U.S. should be allowed to apply for visas. I'm Chris Barnes.
The Trump administration imposing new economic sanctions on Iran. The Treasury Department targeting more than a dozen individuals and entities for supporting, quote, illicit Iranian actors or transactional criminal activity, unquote. Those being targeted have alleged ties to Iran's military and the Revolutionary Guard Corps. A statement from the State Department says Iran continues to promote regional instability in the Middle East. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
The Walt Disney Company, which owns the Muppets, is releasing a vague reason why they got rid of the voice of Kermit.
In a statement released Monday, the Muppet Studios said that they raised their concerns to voice actor Steve Whitmire over the years about his business conduct, but nothing changed. Whitmire revealed on Monday on a personal blog post that he was fired back in October for what he believes was clashing with Disney over its handling of Kermit. Whitmire voiced the character since 1990, when creator and original voice Jim Henson died. The Muppet Studio is a division of the Walt Disney Company.
Satanists are getting their way and having a monument put in a Minnesota park. Here's Chris Barnes.
The so-called Bowl of Wisdom is expected to be placed in an area of Veterans Memorial Park in Belle Plaine, Minnesota, an area of the park that's designated as a free speech zone. The area is open to monuments affiliated with any religion or belief system, as long as the monument honors veterans. Hundreds of Christians gathering a couple of days ago to protest the monument, with many saying Satan has no rights. I'm Chris Barnes.
A Minnesota man now says it was his fault and not the autopilot system in his Tesla after he crashed over the weekend. David Clark claims he was driving Saturday night on a country road not far from the city of Wilmer when he lost control of his luxury electric vehicle. He told the Star Tribune yesterday he's trying to get police to change its account that said when he engaged the autopilot feature, the vehicle suddenly accelerated. He admits he hit the accelerator. USA Radio News.
Hey, this is Joe Peters with an interesting show coming up. I have Tracy Heifer. How do you say your last name? Heisler.
Heisler, yes.
Tracy Heisler with me. And she's with the CASA organization. We're going to talk about it in depth. But before I get going, I'm going to give you a little bit about what's happening Weber-wise. And I'll be right back.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Hunterdon, this is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, it's Joe Peters, and the official weather report is it's sort of like Groundhog Day. It's going to be 90 and hot with a little bit of showers for the rest of the week. But I got to admit, today's the first day. It's really hot. And how hot is it? I mean, I have a car that's not 3 years old. And the first time, I didn't think the air conditioner was keeping up with it. So we're getting there. The trick is not to park in the sun. And that way, you don't have to start it from scratch. But here's what we're looking at. It looks like it's 88 degrees right now. It's going to be 90 tomorrow, 91 the following day, 93 the day after, and then 88 on Saturday, 89 on Sunday. Sounds like Groundhog Day. That's what I'm getting at. A little thunder shower each day, and it's summer in New Jersey. I used to fly a lot, and it was always like a heck of a time to fly. I almost said a bad word in the summer because you always had storms around 3:30, and that's what it looks like we've got coming up. We're going to play a few of our paid commercials, and we're going to be right back, and then we're going to get into what CASA is all about with Tracy, and I'm anxious to learn because it looks like an interesting organization, and I know very little about it, so she and I were introduced, and after I talked to her a little bit, I said, this sounds like a great show, so we'll be right back to you.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup, Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, it's Joe Peters, and I'm back, and I'm sitting here with Tracy. And Tracy, why don't we say hello again?
Hello.
Hey, the mic seems to be working. We're registering well on the noise-o-meter that's behind me. Tracy, give me a little about your background. I mean, I found out while we were sort of just warming up here in the tan room, lots of places have a green room, that you have 8 children.
I do.
I find that amazing. I have 5, and I thought I was an anomaly.
5 boys, 3 girls.
Wow. And you were telling me you've actually got grandchildren.
I do. I have 1, and she's 3 years old, and she's fantastic. So those of you who are grandparents out there, you know the love of which I speak. They are awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's neat. And at what ages do they range, the children?
My youngest is 10. My oldest is going to be 30 here in December.
Wow.
So we still have 3 at home.
And you live in
Bloomsbury
on the Warren County side of the river.
Exactly.
Wow. How long have you lived in that area?
11 years. We're originally from South Plainfield in Middlesex County.
Okay, so what made you migrate over to Bloomsbury then?
It's actually kind of a funny story. I had known my husband since middle school. We dated many, many years ago. I dumped him and married someone else.
Yep.
I got divorced after about 17 years, and we reconnected. And I was actually in Florida. He was here in New Jersey, and so when we got married, we decided, let's start with a new place. So we ended up in Warren County.
What a nice story. So did you have time to go to college?
I did.
Okay. That was sort of a funny question. I came out wrong.
I have a bachelor's in psychology with minors in juvenile justice and forensics, and a master's in counseling psychology from the University of West Florida.
West Florida. What town is that located
Pensacola.
In? Okay, so it's over on the panhandle. Mm-hmm. Pensacola is the southern rock capital of the world, isn't it?
Didn't know that.
Yeah. all the bands like who sang Sweet Home Alabama.
Leonard Skinner.
Leonard Skinner. I think it was Pensacola that they considered.
I think it was Jacksonville. Tom Petty is over on that side, too.
Wow. Wow. Small world. So, CASA, it sounds like, why don't you, in 100 words or less, tell me what CASA does, and we'll just start it from there.
Okay. CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates, and they're community volunteers who act as advocates in court for children who've been abused or neglected and are living in the foster care system.
Okay.
There are about 500 children annually in foster care in the Tri-Counties, and our advocates this past fiscal year served 215 of them. So we are always on the lookout for new advocates who are as passionate as we are about ensuring that the children that are in care are having their needs identified, have a voice in court. We're making sure that they're having their needs met, and so that they're not just surviving this experience, but they're thriving in it.
Wow. So you said there's about 500 and you service 250?
215.
215. And where are the other 285 then?
They're still in care, but without a voice. So that's actually one of the reasons that we come on shows like this, is to raise awareness and get more
advocates. So in care means
they're living in foster homes.
Foster homes. And the ones that are in the 215 are living with?
Also in foster homes.
Foster homes. So what is the difference between the 285 and the 215? That's what I'm not grasping.
Right. The 215 were the lucky ones who had an advocate. The 285 did not, because we didn't have enough advocates to go around.
So an advocate is like their big brother.
No, it's not a mentor kind of situation.
Okay.
Our volunteers, once they're appointed to these children by a family court judge via court order, that gives them access to the children's medical records, their educational records, their child welfare file, all of those kinds of things that pertain to them. So the advocates research independently on going through all of these files to see what are the unmet needs for these children. What are some of the traumas maybe that they've experienced that were overlooked? What are some of the variables in the family? Are the children visiting with siblings? Are there other relatives that perhaps they could live with instead of being in a foster care situation? The advocates are also visiting with the kids at least once every 30 days, laying eyes on them and talking with them and making sure that everything's okay, hearing whatever it is that the kids want them to know or want the judge to know. So while we do visit with the kids, you know, regularly, far more of an advocate's time is spent in this investigation, in the facilitation of services, preparing a report to the court of their findings, and making recommendations on behalf of that child.
So a foster child is a child living in a foster home, and we have about 500 of them, 215 or less, a little less than half, 40% maybe, have an advocate. How do they decide who gets the next advocate?
It's really quite a triage approach.
Okay.
The kids who are getting advocates are the ones who have either experienced really significant abuse or neglect or maybe have more developmental delays or educational delays or in need of more services, or those kids whose parents are just not progressing well towards reunification with the opioid addiction, the heroin crisis. We just did an assessment in our office the other day and found that in the last 6 months, no child has been reunified of ours with a heroin addicted parent. And that's a really significant problem. Zero in our office, yeah.
So none of your children were reunited with the heroin-addicted parents. What? It's not horrible for you. It's horrible for the county that we have this problem.
Exactly, and it's horrible for the kids who love their parents.
Right.
And just the grip on them is so devastating with this heroin that they can't stay clean, and that doesn't bode well for anyone. For the first time, we're seeing dead parents, you know, ones who've OD'd.
Wow.
And then we have orphan children. It's the most significant problem facing our kids, in my opinion, here in the Tri-Counties currently.
So this program is not county-based, it's area-based?
Yes, there are CASA programs in every county within the state. We are funded in part by the state legislature. We are the only entity authorized within the state to provide these kinds of advocacy services.
Wow.
And it usually goes by vicinage or court jurisdiction. So for us, we're one of two tri-county vicinages in the state.
Okay. So I know I last year did Leadership 100, and we got to meet a lot of people, including Anthony Kearns, who talked to us about the opioid issue.
I'm a graduate of Leadership Somerset.
And what?
I'm a graduate of Leadership Somerset. Just putting a plug in there.
I'm going to do that next year. I couldn't get in this year. I got so much out of the Leadership 100, and I wanted to go to the Leadership Somerset right after. And I said, you already had a choice, so we're just going to make you wait till next year. But they're different programs, but I know Anthony opened my eyes as to what the issues were. And he said, you know, in Hunterdon, and it was like Valentine's Day when we met him. We already had 11 deaths. And he said, that may sound bad to you, but like Ocean County's had 211 deaths. He says, we're not hardly as bad as the others, but to us it's major, and it's here, and it's growing. And that was the beginning of the year. I don't know how many, but one of my friends is a police officer. Said what he didn't tell you was 9 deaths were on one weekend. It was just a strong batch that came in. And it's not just people who are in a certain zip code from a certain ethnicity. It was all walks of life all over the county. So it's not.
And that's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
I had this conversation a little earlier today. We like to think that child abuse and neglect happens with poor, uneducated, hillbilly kind of people.
Right.
But in reality, child abuse and neglect occurs, as does addiction, occurs from every social strata.
So let's back up on the addiction and come forward. When did the opioid epidemic start?
Heroin has been here since I've been here, so the last 11 years at least, but it has intensified significantly within the last 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
And I don't know what the variables are that have brought that in. My guess is that it's economics. It's cheaper and it's stronger than previous iterations have been. But I know that for whatever the cause, the children are definitely paying the price.
Wow. I felt really bad to hear that it was happening around us, and I wasn't even thinking about the children. So this is from a children's aspect. And one of the things he told me is that he thought one of the reasons where it has gotten so exacerbated recently is that we've got the generation that got a trophy for showing up, and now they're coming into the job force, and it's not all that easy, and they're not getting a trophy for showing up, and they're looking for ways to cope, and heroin is $6 or $7 versus an a pill, which is $42, and then they're hooked because it's not prescription, it's not controlled. Not that prescriptions are controlled that well, but it's eye opening that we're sitting here in the most affluent county in the country, and we have this issue. And he says it's coming in through the high school system. He says there's not a kid in Hunterdon County that doesn't know how to get it if he wants it.
Wow,
that's scary. That's scary. So it's got to start at home, and it's got to roll down, and it's not that easy. I remember Lady Bird used to say, just say no. Okay, just say no is a dream. You know,
it's true. And addiction is not a matter of willpower oftentimes. And one of the disconnects between the addiction recovery model and the child welfare model, we know that relapse is part of the recovery process, but there's very little tolerance for that in the child welfare system. And under federal guidelines, parents who have been found to have abused or neglected their children have 12 months to get their act together, and with the discretion of the court to provide them another 3 months, 15 months, to turn their lives around, fix whatever the problems are, have a job, maintain housing, stay clean, all of those kinds of things, attend all their parenting classes, their individual therapy, whatever has been ordered by the court. It's a really tall order, and a lot of parents' rights are terminated because they can't get to that place of sobriety for an extended period of time.
Wow. So they have 1 year to pull out of the nosedive. And after that, it's over permanently.
Yep.
Permanently. The children are ward of the state, and they become assigned
as free for adoption.
Free for adoption.
There are circumstances when families have extended family or family friends who are willing to step in and take the children under what's called a kinship legal guardianship.
Right.
But the standard for them to regain their rights is so high that it rarely happens.
So let me say it to me, if the parents are incapable of taking care of the children or are abusing or neglecting the children, they are given 1 year by the courts to correct the situation, but I'm not sure the court gives them any direction as how to correct the situation.
They do.
They do.
They get what's called a case plan, and
okay.
In that plan it addresses, you know, if it was a substance abuse issue, then they'll have to go for a substance abuse evaluation and follow whatever treatment modalities
right.
that are ordered by that assessor. Almost all of them have to have a parenting class.
Okay.
Almost everybody has to have a job. They have to
right.
maintain housing and show that they can provide.
So of the parents that get into this situation, how many succeed? What percentage succeeds throughout that year?
We have actually seen that number go down. It used to be in 10 or 11 years ago when we were seeing kids being removed from marijuana, say,
right.
80-90% of our kids would go home.
Yep.
Currently, we're at about 50%.
Wow.
And that's dropping.
So I remember one of the other things Anthony said was that, you know, you hear about what's the harm in legalizing marijuana. He said, it's not the marijuana that, she's not saying you smoked it, but when you were of age to smoke marijuana, not that there's an age to smoke marijuana, but he says it's not the same. It's an entry-level drug. It's at least four times more powerful than what it used to be. And he says legalizing marijuana just makes no sense to the law community because this problem gets exacerbated as well. That's an amazing statistic.
Well, fully 80-85% of our cases are substance abuse related.
What about alcohol? How high up is alcohol?
Alcohol used to be higher,
right.
but it's dropping.
So is it gone away, or is it just not as we have a bigger problem?
We have a bigger problem, I
right.
think.
So alcohol is always prevalent. So I know when I worked with some of the social service people, I said, well, what happens when you get into a family that has an alcohol or a drug problem? They said, we're not here to solve that problem. We're here to solve other. That problem's going to be here when we go. It was here when we came. It's going to be here when we go. There's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
And I know I've come through some situations with children with alcohol issues, and the issue is up to the family, and it's really up to the individual. I mean, the individual has to want help, or they can't be helped, and the family has to understand it, and most times they don't.
Well, it's been my experience that many, many times when you have somebody with substance abuse issues, whether it's alcohol or heroin or marijuana or whatever it is,
right.
there's a reason that they're getting high or becoming intoxicated. There's something that they want to avoid, and it's easier to be high than it is to deal with your stuff. I had a case years ago with a mom who just could not seem to stay clean. Her,
mm-hmm.
her kids had been removed. I was their advocate. And in sitting down and talking with mom about what were the barriers, why is it that you can't stay clean. She disclosed that she'd been sexually assaulted at 15, had never told anyone.
Mm.
And every time, you know, those memories would start to intrude, she'd get high because it was way better.
Wow.
So unresolved trauma, I think, drives a lot of this train.
Wow.
And we need to understand better the impacts of trauma, not just on adults who are addicts, but start much earlier in the cycle and address it for children
right.
and figure out how to help them heal so that they don't repeat that cycle.
So we have 500 children in the Tri-County area that you cover that are in this. Only 215 have advocates. So that's the person that you described earlier as doing more study than parenting and trying to get the course rectified. Is there any hope we'll ever get an advocate for all of them, or does that just not happen?
We actually are serving every child in care in Hunterdon County.
Okay.
And that's a big deal for us. We're only the third county in the state to achieve that after Morris and Sussex. So our area of focus next is Somerset County. We're currently serving about 45% of kids there, and we want to move that needle up.
So of the 285 that are not served, a big part of them are in Somerset County and the rest in Warren County, I guess.
Exactly.
Okay. So how is it that Hunterdon County gets served so well? Is it we have more advocates?
It's because your numbers are lower.
Okay.
It was kind of low-hanging fruit in terms of our ability to be able to do that. So, and we received support for the last 2 years from the county as well, which allowed us to recruit more advocates. So we've been very, very fortunate to be able to do that.
So how many advocates do we have just in Hunterdon County then?
Let's see. We have 107 advocates. There's, I think, 22 here in Hunterdon County who are serving all of the kids in care.
And does an advocate serve two children at once, or is it a one-on-one relationship?
It's one family, so it could be one child. It could be seven children.
I see.
So here in Hunterdon County, throughout the year, there are about 78 kids in care, about 35 to 40 at any given time.
Wow. Wow. What does a person, how do you select an advocate, and how do they have to be brought up to running speed?
There are people who apply to be an advocate that we don't accept, and we tell them at the beginning when they start going through this process, it's no slight on you. There's just a very specific skill set that we look for. You have to be over 21, no criminal record, have a genuine interest in children, have the ability to not just gather information but to analyze it and synthesize it for these targeted kinds of recommendations. You have to be able to build rapport with other stakeholders and conduct yourself in a really professional and collaborative way.
Okay.
This isn't a situation where you can knock down the pins and make people comply.
Yeah.
We have to not only build the bridge but keep it functional for every case that, you know, for all of the children that we're serving. It's not necessary to have a background in this, but it is necessary to have the heart to stay in it.
Okay.
We see and read about terrible things, and it can be very difficult. So a lot of advocates come to us as people who've had trauma experiences as children themselves. They've been victims of abuse or neglect. And that doesn't disqualify you. You just need to have been able to deal with your stuff so it doesn't become about your story.
Yep.
It stays this child's story.
How old is an average? Does it matter how old you are as an advocate? I know you said over 21.
No, we've had advocates from 21 to 84.
Okay. So that opens my next question. I was thinking about if we have a senior sitting around saying, I'd like to do something about this, they could get involved and become an advocate.
Absolutely. And we would love and welcome to have you there.
Okay.
The majority, I would say the median age of our advocates is probably mid-50s.
Okay.
So certainly, if you can drive a car, write a court report, build relationships, we want you. We need you.
And how much time does it take in, let's say, a month to be an advocate?
At the very beginning, the first 3 months when you're first assigned the case is the most labor-intensive.
Okay.
You can expect to spend 20 to 25 hours a month because you're going through the case files, you're meeting all of the players, you're getting up to speed. Once you submit your first court report, you move into a monitoring phase where whatever the judge has ordered, that's what you are following to see what's happening. Are things getting done that are supposed to get done? In that phase, which is the majority of the case, it's more like 10 hours a month.
Okay, a couple hours a week. More intensive up front. More than double that to get started, but after 3 months. And do advocates get repaid for this work, or is it?
No, it's all volunteer.
Okay.
And before you even get to the point of being appointed, there's a really significant vetting process that goes on. So okay. The first step is to go to an information session to learn about what the expectations are. Mm-hmm. It's a lot, and we want to make sure that before people invest a lot of time and energy, they understand what it is that's being asked of them.
Wow.
If we haven't scared them off, then yep. They schedule an interview. So it's an interview with two CASA staff, and we grill you like a hot dog on the 4th of July because we need to know yep. who our advocates are. So we talk about what your background is, what your family life was like, what your values are, what are the things that worry you, all of those kinds of things. That takes about an hour and a half.
Right.
There are four references, a local, state, and federal criminal background check. And if you've passed all of those components, then you're accepted into our pre-service training, which is 36 hours okay. in class. And I'll give a shout out to Linda Friedman in yep. Clinton, who donated space to us.
Oh, that's neat. So she's such a neat person.
She was wonderful. She very graciously let us use space at her 100 and shared space office okay. for our June training. So after 36 hours of in-class training, there's 4 hours of court observation where you see what cases look like and right. see what the court process looks like. And then you're sworn in by a family court judge to serve as a judiciary volunteer. And then we set you up with your first case, get a court order, and you hit the ground running.
Interesting. And how many, once you're signed up, fall through, don't work out? Is there a big percentage or a small percentage?
Of once people going through training?
Yeah.
Our average class is about 15 or 16 people, and we usually lose one.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere along the line.
So it's not too bad of a turnover. And then people can do this for as long as they still want to do it, I take it.
Yes. Hunterdon County resident Phyllis Michael, who lives here, she actually predated me. She
wow.
she was in the fall 2005 training class, and she's still serving kids.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
She's the only one I didn't train. Everybody else I had a hand in.
So if somebody's saying, I'd like to learn more about this, who did they contact?
They can contact our volunteer trainer. Her okay. name is Karen Cassano,
yep.
C-A-S-S-A-N-O. And you can reach Karen at karen@casashaw.org, okay. C-A-S-A-S-H-A-W.org.
And SH is Somerset, Hunterdon,
and Warren.
Okay. So I saw the show. I looked it up on the internet to familiarize myself a little. I said, I don't know what that stands for. So now it just made sense.
And if you aren't ready to take that step, you want to learn a little more before you talk to someone, you can visit our website at www.casashaw.org, or you can visit our Facebook page, which is -casa, let's see, what is it? Facebook, casa_Shaw.
Wow. Lots of places to go and learn. So we'll go through these contact things once more before we finish, and just in case there's somebody out there that wants to get deeper involved. Now, you've got the parents that no longer can watch the children. You've got the children who become wards of the court and then go through this program, and you've got about 40% of them matched with advocates. Need more advocates, obviously. It's interesting that we have 100% advocated, if that's such a word. And I'm surprised about Somerset because it's a pretty affluent county, but it's got a much more ethnic mix than we do. So,
and that's actually a problem nationally that we are trying to figure out how to address in Somerset County is we have a disproportionate number of African American children in okay. the foster care system. And it's not that the incidence of child abuse or neglect is necessarily higher according to many studies. So we have to start figuring out what's the difference. Is it that there's a bias among investigators, that they're more ready to pull a child from an African-American home? Mm. Is it that there are fewer supports for those families and they don't have access to resources that other families might? So we are working with the other CASA programs throughout the state to try to get a training and to address this issue of mm-hmm. this internal bias and try to figure out how to address it so we don't traumatize our kids any more than we have to.
So I'm still amazed about the 100 in numbers. We don't have as many, and we're covered. So I guess That is probably part of the answer. We just don't have the highest stack of people that need help. And each one of them has a one-on-one relationship with somebody. And in Somerset County, we have a higher stack of people, but it's almost 2.5 times that. We have 125,000 and they have 275,000 people. It's 2.5 times our population.
And Somerset County, in a lot of ways, is a different kind of demographic.
Right.
It has more of a more urban area, I think, than we have here in Hunterdon County.
That's true.
Which is makes access a little easier.
That's true. I mean, the other thing Anthony Curran said that I thought was just amazing, you would never think about it, was that we used to be pretty insulated here. People wouldn't come and rob a house in Hunterdon County because they couldn't find their way out in the dark. And he said, and then came GPS. Now there's no fear.
I hadn't thought about that.
I hadn't either. I mean, it was just such... He was talking about so many things that doesn't pertain to what we're talking about. It was an eye-opening conversation with Anthony. For instance, we don't have a drug-sniffing dog. We have to go get the sheriff out of bed in Somerset County when that comes along. And it's like, you would think we could afford a dog. I know it's not just buying a dog, but...
Well, one of the things that I started keeping track of when I first got here 11 years ago was the reentry rates of kids into foster care who have a CASA. And we have served now nearly 700 children over the last 11 years, and only about 3 to 3.5% of them have come back into care over 11 years. Hmm. That contrasts with the number of children who are returned to DCPMP care statewide. It's anywhere from 8% to 23%, depending on the reporter, within 12 months. Mm-hmm. So having a CASA advocate who's making sure that things are stable, not just for the child, but oftentimes for the parents. We look for what are the barriers that are keeping them from succeeding.
Right.
And we will oftentimes make recommendations on their behalf as well. I think it makes a big difference.
So how does somebody terminate? They graduate. I'm sure it's not pomp and circumstances, but you're saying they sort of leave the program after a while.
They leave the program when the court discharges the case. So there are generally only three ways that that's discharged. Either the child's reunified with their family, they're adopted by someone, or they go into this kinship legal guardianship, like a long-term situation with a relative or family friend.
Okay.
Those are generally the only three, or if a child ages out.
Ages out. And what is the age limit?
It's 21.
21.
Actually, here in the state.
And everybody's going to hit that eventually. But what is the youngest, imagine this starts anywhere in life?
From birth, yeah.
Wow.
We serve kids birth to 21.
Birth to 21.
And our children who come in at birth, I don't know of any who are not drug exposed.
Okay, so they're actually having in their blood.
Exactly.
From the mother. Wow.
I know. It's tough. And one of the other issues that we have not yet seen a great deal of, but we have seen some here in the Tri-Counties, is child sex trafficking, which is another just really heinous, horrible, how do you do that to a kid?
Right.
But for those of our listeners who think that those kinds of things don't happen in Hunterdon County, you're wrong. It does.
Wow.
And we have had to help those kids try to pick up the pieces and rebuild their lives.
Wow. We just watched a movie called Lion about India. Have you seen that?
Oh, it's fantastic.
And it was eye-opening. And it's even eye-opening for the people of India, because I work with a woman. I told her about it. She says, Joe, you're right. That happens all over the place in India. But it's sort of accepted. It's not accepted here. That's why it's such a wide open. You have so much poor and so many uncared for children, and nobody goes to look for them.
Yeah.
Well, here it's a little bit different. At least we have advocates trying to monitor the situation in the government. What does CASA fall under? Is there an umbrella agency that CASA is part of, or is it a standalone?
We're an independent nonprofit. There is a CASA of New Jersey organization in New Brunswick with which we are a partner, but we are not a subsidiary or a dependent organization of. But there's the network of CASA programs throughout the state work together regularly. We meet every other month. We try to learn best practices from each other. We try to stay ahead of what some of the new and emerging trends are. We work together on state committees to try to figure out how we can better serve the kids.
And when's the early warning light go on that somebody needs this kind of a system? When it hits the court system, or is it before?
That's when CASA is appointed. I mean, we have often had requests for people to provide advocates in messy divorces or in situations where they're concerned about a parent's ability to parent. We can't do that. We can only serve kids by state legislation who have been removed from the home because of abuse or neglect.
And who files for their removal? Is there a child advocate that's outside of the family that
It's DCP&P that does the removal.
And what does that
stand
for?
The Division of Child Protection and Permanency, formerly DIFAS.
DIFAS, okay.
They will send out an investigator in response to a complaint, and if it's founded and the child's safety is at risk, then they'll be removed.
Good.
And people shouldn't underestimate just how traumatic a removal in and of itself was.
Right.
You go home tonight and you're sitting in your living room watching Modern Family or something, and the police come to the door and say, come on, get in the car. Here's a garbage bag. Put your stuff in it, with no explanation as to why. You might be perturbed. And it's no surprise that some of our kids have behavior issues because they're perturbed too. They don't understand what's happening. And they're not only taken from the parents that they love, even though they might be doing something wrong, they generally still love them and want to be with them. They just want whatever it is to stop. But they're oftentimes moved from their siblings, their school, their toys, the things that are familiar to them. Mm-hmm. And that's hard.
Hmm. It's an amazing story. I'm just sitting here awestruck by... Not that it happens, but it happens here in this beautiful place that we live. And you're saying every facet, shape, and form of it happens here, right down to child sex trafficking. I'm sure it's not a major, but it happens.
It does.
It happens. Wow. So I'm looking at your brochure and the different aspects of things. We're saying every 35 seconds a child is abused and neglected. This is countrywide, I would think. 50% of the children in foster care do not graduate from high school or get a GED, and 12% of the children in foster care end up homeless. Those are amazing statistics. 96.5% of the children served by CASA Shore do not return to foster care. They go on to normal lives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And 40% of the abused, neglected children are served by CASA. So there's 60% that aren't even being served by your organization. I'm sure there's some other organizations, but yours is probably the most prominent one.
We're the only ones able to do this kind of thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, if they don't have an advocate, they don't have an advocate.
So your goals are 100% receive advocates, 100% are placed in safe homes, and 100% do not return to foster care. Give every child a chance. This is interesting. It opens a whole new aspect of life in Hunterdon County to me, who've lived here almost 20 years, that I wasn't aware of. I knew things happened, and I know not everybody's as fortunate as everybody else. I didn't know that we had this many things. I mean, we have a seniors advocacy program here in Hunterdon County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're lovely.
Yeah, they are, and it's needed. And we had Bob Wise from the hospital talk, and he said that at the rate we're living, we're outliving our money and our kids, and we're still healthy. And, you know, it's like we need advocacy for them. So it was, I think, Linda Bryant was being sort of honored, who's our seniors manager. We've got probably about 6 or 7 minutes left. What would you like to talk about that we didn't talk about?
I think I would like to talk about some of the things that our organization is doing in addition to advocacy services for our kids, because I think they're important. And if there's people out there who aren't particularly interested in advocating, but you are interested in supporting, here's some projects that you could help with.
Wonderful.
As you mentioned, about 50% of kids in foster care will not graduate from high school, and less than 3% will graduate from college. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole generation of individuals who are set up to perpetuate a cycle of abuse and neglect, of unemployment, of early parenthood, of homelessness. So we wanted to stop that. We wanted to figure out how to address it. So most of the kids that we serve have some kind of academic delays. Mm-hmm. So we created the traveling tutor program. We had offers from people to be tutors, but then we had issues with transportation of how to get the child to wherever it is that the tutor is. So the traveling tutor is a CASA volunteer or someone. We have one non-advocate who is a traveling tutor. You may know her, Carol DeVore, here in Flemington.
Wow.
But Carol's the only one who does that. So we pay our tutors $25 an hour, inclusive of travel, and they will go to the children's homes and provide in-home tutoring services to try to...
These are not advocates. These are tutors.
They're advocates, but they're tutoring for a different case. They can't be tutors for their own children. They're tutors for other people.
So here's the way that somebody can earn a few dollars for this. And okay, so tutors is one.
Right. So if you want to donate to the tutoring fund, come on over.
Okay.
We'll be glad to take your dollars. One of the other things that we're doing for our kids who have been in care perhaps a long time and have lost track of their family members, let's say their parents' rights were terminated and so they haven't had visits with their grandparents or aunts and uncles and cousins, we have some specially trained advocates who do what we call Family Search and Connect, where they'll go through the child's DCP and P file from when they first entered into care to see if there were any relatives at the time who maybe couldn't take the child or have a relationship with them, and now maybe 5, 8, 10 years have gone by and their circumstances have changed. So mm-hmm. we try to build connections for our older youth so that they don't age out alone.
Okay.
So that's a really great program as well.
Sounds like a couple of neat places to get involved. So if somebody wanted to find out more, you had a number and name again.
Mm-hmm. It's www.casashaw.org, or you can call our office at 908-689-5515, or you can email to info@casashaw.org.
I've got to tell you, this has been an eye-opening conversation for me, and I think for anybody else out there who's listening that isn't familiar with what's happening. It's a tremendous... I've been involved with the 100 Helpline for a little over a year, and I understand from that involvement some of the things that happen in that county, but I didn't know to the extent that this happens, and it sounds like it's well managed. I mean, it sounds like we have our county covered. That doesn't mean we're doing everything we can because there's two more counties to go, but it's an amazing effort. It's an amazing effort.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share it because it is important. If there's nobody who's looking out for our kids, then there's nobody who's looking out for our future.
Right. And I saw a statistic this week. And they were talking about the number of honor students in India. Honor students. Now, if you watch any, if you know anything about India, it's a caste system, and there's just as many poor as honor. But they have more honor students in India in high school than we have students in high school.
Wow.
That's an amazing statistic. And there's another country, I don't know if it was China or another country had the same thing, was even just the same thing. And they're talking about these kids are... Maybe it's not as worldly as our kids, but they're more educated, and their education is rewarded because they're in honor classes. We really are behind the eight ball in a lot of things in this country, and I think one of them is we have a little too many luxuries, and we let the luxuries get in the way of necessities. And one of them is, I think, just letting the kids be babysat by TV. I mean... Robert, in your morals and way of thinking, that comes whatever the program is they're watching's morals and way of thinking.
Well, and I hope that if nothing else, we're putting an emphasis on the potential and the humanity of each of these children. I mean, one of our watchwords is give every child a chance.
Right.
And that's what we're working to do.
Wow. Well, Tracy, thank you for coming on. This is Joe Peters of Coldwell Banker, and we're going to play a few paid commercials, and we're followed up by a program on music, which will start just a little bit after 5 o'clock, and We'll have to do this again. I really learned a lot myself, and I really appreciate you reaching out. I mean, the outreach is something, because we learned that at the 100 and Helpline. We have all of these wonderful agencies, and nobody knows about them. And this is one. I've lived here 18 years and have not known about it. So I'm walking out of the room with a whole different look on life.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Our Democratic friends have spoken a lot recently about wanting bipartisan solutions. Passing this legislation will provide the opportunity.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell talking about a bill that would completely repeal Obamacare, with McConnell saying it gives all parties a chance to start over in creating health care for all Americans. McConnell noted the number of Republicans who voted for repeal when the same bill was brought up in 2015.
A majority of the Senate voted to pass the same repeal legislation back in 2015. President Obama vetoed it then. President Trump will sign it now.
President Trump is spending the week touting Made in America. He spoke of the importance of buying American goods.
When we purchase products made in the USA, the profits stay here, the revenue stays here, and the jobs, maybe most importantly of all, they stay right here in the USA.
USA Radio News.
Attention, all men. Did you know that bladder control problems are very common? If you or a loved one is suffering from male incontinence, please listen to this important message from Men's Liberty, because bladder control problems do not need to keep you from living an active life any longer. Best of all, costs can be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order.
Using Men's Liberty, we can go places. places, and I don't feel a sense of anxiety.
Men's Liberty has made both mine and my husband's life easier.
As a urological surgeon, I highly recommend Men's Liberty. It's simply the best option available, and I've seen how it changes lives.
Men's Liberty is covered by Medicare and most major health insurance plans. Say goodbye to painful catheters, expensive diapers, and embarrassing accidents, odors, or infections. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order. Call 888-827-7549. That's 888-827-7549. 888-827-7549.
The State Department expanding the number of people who can come into the United States under President Trump's travel restrictions. Chris Barnes has more.
The State Department now says grandparents and other close relatives of people from countries on President Trump's travel ban list can get visas.